Welcome to Game Chat this week, guys. We are continuing our discussion of The Walking Dead. Let me adjust my mic. The Walking Dead Season 2. And right now, this week, we are discussing Episode 2. Just to give you guys a quick, for those listening, a quick understanding of who's in the chat with us. If you guys want to go and just kind of just say your name really quick, starting with you, Franco.
This is the voice of Franco.
Hey, it's Madeline. And then
Kevin.
number three.
Chris.
And I'm Steph Skiles, or Steph, since everyone else only said their first name. So that's I'm Steph. Anyways, wow. I'm awkward this evening. So let's get into our discussion. Let me see. I was in the process of pulling up stuff here. So we start out the episode with everyone's together. Clementine is still with her group. Where did the episode begin again? What happened?
At the river.
Either. Yeah.
Oh yeah, at the river. Oh my gosh. Duh. Okay. Yeah. So according to who, so like at the end of episode one, you chose who you wanted to go with. You wanted to go with Nick or with Pete. I think two of us chose Pete. The rest of you guys chose Nick.
I chose Pete. Probably, yeah, I chose Pete.
Yeah.
Yep, Pete.
Okay, so three of us chose Pete. Two of you chose Nick?
I chose Nick.
Also went with Nick.
Okay, great. Yeah, so with Pete, pretty much, we'll start with him. With Pete, you kind of hole yourself up in a delivery van.
A cigarette box truck.
In the middle of nowhere. Oh yeah, because there was a box of cigarettes in there. That makes
Yep.
sense. I mean, a box of boxes of cigarettes. Yeah, so you basically hole yourself up in this van with Pete, just you and Pete chilling. Pete, unfortunately, was bitten in the leg, so he is suffering, and it's pretty obvious. I mean, I don't think it's ever said, but you kind of dance around the subject when you're talking together. A bunch of zombies are outside after you. And basically, Pete's resolution, since the truck won't start, and if you leave, you're going to get killed or eaten or whatever, is to just wait.
And he also wanted to cut off his own leg. You can tell him that's stupid.
Yeah, he wanted to cut off his own leg. I had Clementine. I don't know, you guys can say what you, but I, re how you reacted, I told him it wouldn't work. Because we had seen it before. And he really couldn't do it. I think he still tried, was like, I know I'm going to do this, but he couldn't, and force himself to do it. So yeah, so you wait. Anyone else have any other decisions that they made with Pete?
I think the only thing I guess, with Pete is either water or cigarettes. I gave him, this time I tried the cigarettes just to.
You can give him both.
I couldn't give him the water. I couldn't give him the water because I gave it to the
Oh,
guy.
the dude on
Oh,
the
there,
Oh, you are very altruistic. I said, heck no, you're not getting my water. To the guy dying that possibly could have hurt Krista. But I did give my water to Pete, and then I gave him some cigarettes.
You gave it to a different dying man.
And then you also had the option to either try to run away with Pete or let him be a distraction.
So
I
did it.
chose him to let him chose to let him be a distraction.
Franco, what did you go with?
Actually, I tried to say let's go together, and it turned out he's ending up being ends up being the distraction
That's
anyway because he stumbles and falls and says, "Just go."
That's what I figured would happen, yeah, which is why.
Somewhat more horrifying and though.
Oh, yeah. For yours or for
I mean,
for
either
us?
Way.
I feel like that would be a more horrifying end for him rather than
him
trying to stir up the truck.
I don't think that he... I mean, the way that I understood it is that he was just sitting there. Like, he just sat there and, like, let them attack him.
Well, he also was turning the key on the
back. Oh, that's right. That's right. But, you know, I mean, obviously, he's not getting away. Pete. And then if he did get away, he would just start turning anyways. He was already on the brink of death, otherwise turning into a zombie, into a walker. Yeah. But, yeah. So then you kind of go off. So back to Nick, what happened when you chose Nick to go with?
You end up in a shed with the walkers all surrounding you.
Similar.
And then you find some mason jars with whiskey in there, and Nick ends up getting drunk. So
really, wow. Yeah.
And then basically, I think Clementine says we can't just stay here forever, and you know the walkers had kind of stopped banging on the door, so they open it up and they've kind of dispersed a little and.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you have the option, I think, of leaving Nick or just going on your own. Mm-hmm. I chose to, for us both to go together, but then Nick ends up, like, stumbling or something and starts, or, I can't remember what exactly happens, but Nick starts to be the distraction, so Clementine runs away and runs back to the cabin there.
He goes out there and starts, like, trying to punch zombies, basically.
Yeah.
And I feel like he had a gun at the end of the last episode, and I was like, because when I said, let's leave, he's like, I'm gonna stay here. And he's like, no, you need to come with me. And he's like, okay, let's go.
Yeah. He was gonna stay there by himself?
Yeah, and drink.
Yeah. He says, he kind of gets in a, which I thought it was nice that we met Kenny this episode, because he gets into Kenny's slump. He's like, oh, everything's terrible, and I'm terrible.
Sure.
And I'm just going to stay here and let the world end.
No.
And I told him, I was like, I knew somebody like that once.
Yeah.
Being Kenny.
Yeah.
And like, you just, like, you can't, I don't remember what I said, but he was going to leave with me. And then somehow, I guess because he was drunk, felt like it was a good idea to bring. Did you drink the whiskey, Chris?
Yes.
Of course. Thanks. I mean, basically you cough it up the second it touches your lips, but...
Sure.
Yeah, because he offers it to Clementine.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there was some other instance where I had been offered whiskey at some point with Clementine.
Maybe if
As Lee, you have the whiskey and the.
Oh wait, no, I'm thinking of I'm thinking of Russell from 400 Days. Never mind.
Okay.
Gotcha. With Pete again, with Franco and Kevin. Did you guys? I posted a picture. Did you say that you would watch out for Nick or?
Yes, I said I'll watch. You know, it's sort, you know, bad to say, I don't know, bad to say, even though you may not have the intention of, it's like, I'm not going to deny the peace of mind, his peace of mind. I'm not going to say, okay, I'll watch out for him.
It's like I'm a kid. I mean,
yeah.
I think I did. Yeah. I don't remember.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't really affect anything, but just a nice little choice there. So then after you get done with either Pete or run off with Nick, you go back to the house where a few people are waiting. A couple of people, Alvin and Luke went out to look for you. So they were gone when you first get there. So, of course, Rebecca's very upset and questioning you. I'm trying to think what... I think they go back out to look for Luke. and Alvin, yeah. correct? And they leave you alone with Sarah. You're supposed to distract her and keep her occupied from, you know. But it turns out that Sarah's kind of, she's not as, at least, you know, I mean, she has her issues, which we find out seems to be anxiety problems.
Yeah.
I think there's a little bit more to it than just normal anxiety. But yeah.
Well, sure. But just in this episode, what we're seeing is typical. I mean, it seems very anxiety, you know, focused.
Yeah.
In fact, she went into that
fetal position. You
know, fetal position, which reminded me of War of the Worlds. You know, the girl goes into her safe space.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah.
And I flashed right to that. But mm-hmm. yeah, it was interesting.
Did you guys show her how to use the gun when she asked? She had a gun hidden under her bed.
Yeah.
And so you showed her how?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that it's gonna be of any use, but yeah.
I told her too that she needed to have her dad show her.
I also told her that.
Oh, okay. I was thinking about that.
He's not going to show her.
Of course he's not, but that lets it not be my problem anymore.
Exactly.
Probably the better response, I would think.
And then even though like Clementa knows how to use a gun, I wouldn't call her like an expert, like, or I wouldn't call her like extremely practiced at gun wielding.
Yeah. What I found interesting though was, and you guys probably wouldn't remember, but she used the same exact advice that
Lee
gave her for when helping teach her how to shoot.
Oh yeah.
Which I chose was to hold your breath for a second, to which she goes and takes an exaggeratedly long, deep breath. It's like, no, not that much.
So what did you guys practice at? Outside? Or in the house?
You just kind of aim the gun or you just kind of tell her how to actually, like, properly shoot. You don't actually shoot anything because you don't
like
have
like in the bedroom?
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, okay. The gun's empty. There's no bullets.
Yeah.
You just basically say, like she starts off like Kevin said, exactly what Lee had started with her. It's just an object. Don't be afraid of it. And the funny part is every time she says why, she goes, I don't know. That's just what somebody told me both times. So, yeah, and then, you know, just the squeeze, the trigger, don't pull it. Why? I don't know. That's somebody told me.
Nice.
So you don't miss.
Yes. Well, yeah. So the gun doesn't jerk, basically.
Yeah.
There's a knock at the door.
Yeah. Well, Sarah's looking out the window and sees someone coming in who she thinks is someone in their group. So she runs downstairs, you follow her, and get downstairs, and Sarah's like, that's not my dad, or Luke, or someone. Mm-hmm. So, stranger, danger. again, because I'm horrible at split-second decisions, and I sometimes make the wrong choices in these matters, I opened the door for him.
He comes in no matter what.
That's what I figured.
I reached for the lock. Yeah,
there are plenty of windows that if he wanted to get in the house, he could just get in the house. And then just be angry when he does come in. So did anyone else just open the door or did you?
I also opened the door because I was pretty sure that's what had happened in the preview from last week. And, like, I know that the preview will still, like, show choices that you can make. But I was like, well, nothing really bad happened in the preview, so I'm sure it's fine.
Fine.
It'll be fine. Did anyone make a different choice there?
I think it was kind of, yeah, you know, I reached for the lock and then he opened the door.
Yeah, I did too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I tried to go for the lock.
I saw the two options and I was like, I didn't really understand what I was looking at just because of the lighting and on the door. So I was like, one of these is the knob. The other one, I'm not really sure. Yeah. And yeah, so.
This episode was notorious for giving you options that don't actually even let you attempt it. It's essentially the equivalent of doing nothing.
Well, you know,
the reaching for the lock thing, like, I mean, don't even get.
That's kind of it. Telltale in general, though. Yeah. That's in kind real of life. Honestly, well. Yes.
Ooh, deep thoughts.
I mean.
But anyway, actually, yeah. Then you have the verbal dance that goes on.
God, I never thought that man would leave. I was just like, okay, come. And he just kept going into rooms. He kept just going into rooms in the house, and I'm like, no, are you leaving now? No, you're going to check out the bedroom. Cool.
Did anybody try to stab him?
Oh yeah, no.
Yes.
Yeah, I tried to grab the knife. He goes and like puts it in a drawer.
She keeps looking up the knife.
Where does this go?
Yeah. I'm like, I'll take it. He's like, yeah, I'll just put it in this drawer here. I'm not gonna let you stab me.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I was trying, which doesn't matter anyways. But I was trying to not alarm him because I was hoping if I would. Acted dumb enough and just was like, yeah, you know, this is fine, you know, and just talked to him enough that he would just leave. That wasn't the case. He just kept going. And then finally, without trying to stab him, he just kind of was like, because he saw me looking at the knife.
It was so obvious, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because Clementine was like, just kept looking at it. She kept looking at it. I was like, yeah, of course.
The other thing was missing, like, the exclamation point around her. She looked at the knife, like, ah!
I'm looking
at the knife.
For sure. Which, you know, just goes to show that, you know, I mean,
yeah,
she's experienced all of these things, but she's still a kid, you know?
Yeah. She has no poker face.
No, but, yeah, I mean... I think, although, you know, she tries to, she, you know, I think that she tries to have a poker face and does about as good of a job at a poker face as I do. It's just all downhill from there. Frank, are you going to say
something? I really tried. This is the, like I was saying to Chris, this is the second time I did this episode. This is where I stopped. And I really tried hard to go with the poker face and give him absolutely zero information, you know, like shut him down. To the point where if I didn't like the answer, I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. I was actually quite proud of myself for, like, I gave up nothing. Like, I'm just here by myself, you know. The classic now when you meet anyone in these games is, what's your name? Well, what's your name?
Yeah.
Harley.
Yeah.
Yep, I said Carly.
Yeah, I said Carly too.
If I said, what's your name?
I don't think I asked him his name because I knew he wouldn't tell me his real name anyway. So
yeah. So Sarah she conspicuously runs upstairs or walks upstairs, makes a sound, and then closes the door with a loud thump, like she wasn't even trying to hide to begin with. And so we go upstairs. Sarah's hiding under the bed. He doesn't see her, but he does find the picture that you took on the floor. I guess everyone took the picture. Did everyone take the picture of Sarah?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I didn't know if that was... I think it made it seem like an option, but...
Yeah, I think it might be possible to not take it.
Yeah, so the photo, he finds the photo, which he obviously recognizes because this guy apparently knows this group that Clementine is with, and shows it to her. Obviously, she's made. But I still kept lying to him.
Oh, yeah, didn't own up to it. Like, That's just a picture from somebody.
But I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that he, you know, he was just kind of like, "Oh yeah, hey, well, you know." But he, no one else was there, so there was nothing he could do because he was, you know. Well, we'll get to that. But yeah. So he leaves. The rest of the group comes back, and Clementine tells them that someone was there. So did you? Let's see here. Because you tell them, I think, that he saw the picture, because they were all, the entire group is a little alarmed that this guy was there, and was asking her what he looked like. And then, you know, she was like, oh, well, he saw the picture of Sarah. So did you own up to taking the picture, or?
Yeah. But then Sarah says that it's her fault because she asked you.
Okay. Yeah. I made the mistake of being like, well, you told me to distract her.
Yeah, I said the same thing.
And then Sarah was like, what?
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I played this twice.
The shake of looking like in a big...
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, well, I just, you know, I mean...
I was doing what you told me.
It made me look bad, and it made her dad look bad, and to Sarah. So, yeah. So then the group kind of, you know, discusses about, you know, well, we should probably leave as soon as we can, because... this group will be back, you know. They wouldn't really... So, like, what did you guys think, not knowing the end of the episode, what did you guys think when, right before the guy left the house, he kind of had a... When Clementine was made, he was kind of like... Or maybe he didn't have this discussion with everyone, but he was kind of like, you know, you think you know these people, you can't trust them. And then he leaves... And instead of, like, asking for his name, I was like, what do you mean I can't trust them? And he was like, I'll be seeing you around. What did you guys think about that moment? Did you become suspicious of the group that Clementine was with?
Because, you know, that's a classic thing of what a guy like him would tell someone.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I basically, actually, when he said, you should, I mean, that was a classic, trip up line, you shouldn't trust these people. Sure. To see if you could trip you up and say that you actually know these people or seen them. So I just stayed quiet. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Because it's like, you know, the other thing too is, why am I going to listen to you, a guy who I've told multiple times is I'm on my own, and you're just walking around through the house? Just,
exactly.
It's like, you know.
Yeah.
I tried to tell him my group was giant. It was very large.
Yeah, I did too.
Oh, really?
As she's casually leaning against the counter.
Of course, then I told them it was just me and my dad, but then when we got to the kitchen, he was like, this is a lot of dishes for just two people.
I told him it was just me, and he said the same thing, and I was like, I don't do dishes. Yeah. That's fine, me either.
I live on my own. And going off of that, like, do you guys, not off of the dishes, but off of the group that you're with, let's talk about the dishes some more, shall we? How are you guys feeling? Because I know that we talked about this new group in the last week with episode one. Are you guys feeling more comfortable about them? Are you feeling more trusting of them? How are you feeling about the group members?
I like Luke.
You like Luke?
That's about it. About it.
Carlos is still kind of iffy.
Yeah. Yeah, there was something, because, like, when he came back and he found out the guy was there, Luke was like, because Carlos was, like, asking a bunch of questions, and Luke was like, well, because Sarah was like, don't do anything, like, trying to tell her dad, like, don't...
Make him angry. Right.
And then Luke was like, well, don't worry, Sarah. Your dad's not going to make any mistakes, you know, that would put us in danger. And I'm like, did he kill someone?
I think Carlos is just a little bit of a little bit of a little bit overprotective. Yeah, he's being Kenny to some extent.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's to an extent, for sure.
Out of the group, I mean, Luke is the only one that doesn't have issues and or an agenda. I mean,
that we know of yet.
Yeah, that we know of. Yeah, I mean, nothing obvious. Yeah.
Alvin seems okay. Alvin's kind of like very vanilla, kind of in the background, as far as I can tell.
I like Alvin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He seems kind of like the calm one, you know, doesn't like to, you know, it's not really, he's not the leader, or doesn't even try to be the leader. He just kind of, you know, just goes along and takes care of Rebecca, I guess.
Yep.
Someone needs to, because Rebecca's a firecracker. I'm feeling better about them. I was a little, I was more interesting last episode, but I guess just getting to know them a bit more is helpful. And yeah, Luke, who is apparently considered kind of, especially when they meet the group later on in the episode, considered kind of the leader, of the little outfit. I guess that probably would have been taking that stead. Find Luke particularly dreamy? I know me and Madeline do. No? You guys don't? No. Okay. Cool. No. Cool.
He's a handsome gent, but no, I don't go that way.
Dreamy.
He's a cool dude, but I ain't gonna, you know, I'm not He's the chillest one.
That's the same thing with me and Before the Storm, right? I'm not gay, but Rachel Amber is bae.
There you go. There you go.
No, I mean, he's a chill guy, and so he's the only one who doesn't so far have a huge issue and or something they have to get address. You know, Carlos is a control freak over his daughter.
Yeah.
Rebecca's just freaking out.
Go ahead.
He's the Lee of
yes, season two. Yes.
Yeah.
Minus
yeah,
without the whole murder charge thing.
You never know.
That you know about.
We don't
know.
Oh, yeah.
We really don't know any of these people's past. I mean, really, right. We don't.
Yeah, this whole time he's been trying to, like, make Clementine do the dirty work this whole episode.
Holy crap, yes.
Ooh. You talk to the dude on the bridge. No, we're going to hide the fact that so-and-so got shot and not say anything.
Can someone stop asking Clementine to do every free... Even, like, Alvin. Alvin was like, what was it? Oh, to look
why don't
to
you look
later
the
on.
In the shack.
Yeah, look for the food. It's like, look for the food yourself.
He sat down, he was like, hey, why don't you go and look for the food? And I have to deal with
Moody McPregnant Pants, so you go get the food. It's like, well, you're going to be a great dad.
Well, if you put it that way, I'll look for the food.
Rebecca and I bonded this episode. I don't know what happened with y'all.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, we didn't, that's interesting.
I think at the lodge, yeah.
Well, no, like even on the trail.
Yeah, that's I think nice. She had a little heart to heart on the trail a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we get to the bridge, and it's just
it's all downhill from there. But
uphill. But yes.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I can't believe Rebecca walked up that hill.
I know.
Right. So the group gets started. I don't think anything really happens in between that and the bridge, other than seeing the bridge.
I don't know what happened for the Pete people. Did y'all go back and get Nick?
Yeah, I did.
What? Oh, yeah.
Nick just shows up for the...
Nick just shows up.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
They found Nick or whatever, like Alvin and Luke found Nick.
Yeah. Okay. On the way out, you
see Pete's body, yeah.
Yeah, but we do go back to see because Nick wants to go see Pete
And Pete got shot in the head.
Yeah, Pete got shot in the head, which I'm guessing is probably, quote-unquote, the Telltale Walking Dead game's governor's doing. So, you know, for those of us who left, so what happened if you chose to go, let's see, if you chose to go with Nick, did you do anything in between the house and the bridge?
Yeah, so yeah. Clementine takes everyone to that little shed, and Nick is in there wasted, and then Luke talks to him, and they hug it out, and head off.
I kind of like that better, honestly.
I was going to say there was an interesting moment when you go back and find Pete's body. Mm-hmm. That Nick looks at his wrist and says he forgot to take his watch on the way.
Yeah,
when he left the house.
That and was at the shack. Yeah.
And I wonder if you had taken the watch out of the dresser, would you have that awkward moment of giving the watch to Nick at that point?
Yes, after, but it's later after you get to the food place, you have the option to say, "Oh, I found this watch in the cabin," and you give it to him, and he's like, "Thanks, thank you. This means a lot to me." You don't actually say, like, "Hey, I stole this watch."
Yeah, rewards your thievery.
Aw, well, that's kind of nice, besides stealing it. But yeah.
So, yeah, it pays to steal people's nice things.
Who's watching the Jetsons?
Yeah, it's Franco.
Hold on.
Yeah, so you get to the bridge. You have someone coming across it. Did you guys give any information to him? I can't remember exactly how the questions were formed, but he has a gun. He has it aimed at you and Luke, Clementine and Luke.
Does she show up before or after the zombies?
After.
Okay.
After.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That zombie encounter was interesting.
Well, Luke and Clementine are standing near two zombies, and there is one farther away, and Luke is like, "I'm going to leave those two to Clementine and run off down there to that one."
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Wait, what?
Again. That's,
yep.
But I thought he said, but for me, he said, "I'll take the big one and you take the little one."
That is, I'm talking about on the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that one.
Wait, yeah, that was over. Yeah.
Oh.
They just overly complicated that.
where
he falls in the middle, and
what I don't understand is how the zombies managed to make it across the bridge and not fall through. They're zombies.
Mm-hmm.
Plot convenience.
They weigh a lot less than humans because they're desiccated and.
I know, but they're zombies. Shouldn't they be a little bit too stupid to realize? Oh, hey, I have to go and like properly walk across these latches or I'm going to fall through.
There's a little bit of self-preservation going on in there. Otherwise, it wouldn't be an apocalypse.
No.
It would just be like someone eating someone else's face under a bridge, and then we all move on with our day.
End of the Walking Dead series.
Yeah, hindsight being 2020, I would have just stood on the other side of the hole and make them walk right into the hole.
There you go.
But, so zombie attack, and then guy comes across the bridge with a gun pointed at you. How did you guys respond to him? Were you suspicious of him?
Typical survival, apocalyptic survival technique.
Sure.
Who are you? Who am I? I'll tell you first, all that stuff.
Well, that's your technique, Franco. I mean, not everyone. I didn't.
I told him that I wasn't an ass.
That so, you weren't what?
I wasn't an asshole.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But so I implied that Luke might be one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm a little jerk.
Yeah, so, and here comes Nick. hello, and he thinks that for some reason you signaled him to shoot the guy. And so, goodbye, who we later learn, Matthew. Matthew falls off the bridge, shot. whoops. Yeah,
yep, shy of Walter, you probably killed the nicest guy in the game.
Yeah. Well, he came back, you know, and Luke, yeah, and he's like, you signaled me, you waved your hand. I'm thinking Luke did not make any kind of gesture to signal you to shoot him. Like, you obviously, I mean, I understand. He did seem like that he was, you know, he definitely was shot him because he was, you know, he thought, he did see the guy with a gun pointed at Luke and Clementine. He just couldn't hear what was being said. Because Matthew was saying, hey, come back to, you know, we have food. Of course, then when you get to the shack after Matthew is, you know, falls to his death, you walk over the bridge, get to the shack, and there's really not any food there. So you think, oh, well, he was obviously lying. But he does have an awesome book collection in the chest. There's like some kind of like magic sorcery book in there. Not like learning sorcery, which whatever, but I mean, it was like a fantasy book, which I thought was cool. But yeah, there we go. I took a picture of that too. And then a lot of empty cans. This guy, I think there were like two in the box there, in the chest that were not empty. The rest of them, well, those to the right look like they might have been not open. Anyways, but
I think he was more alluding to the place up the hill.
He was, tons obviously. Of yeah. But at yeah. first, what I'm thinking is, I'm like, there's not a lot of food here.
And everybody keeps saying that you look like the girl in the can.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
That's just because I look like the... Just because I have pigtails does not mean I look like the little, like, cartoon white chick on the can.
It's probably just like it's probably just a conversational mechanism. You know, it's like... People, you know, they don't know you very well, and they're just like, oh, hey, here's something that we can talk about. And
they're
you're
not like,
used to seeing little girls.
Exactly.
Why?
Yeah, with pigtails. But stop treating me like a small child. Zombie apocalypse.
She's a kid.
I want to be treated like an adult.
I just thought that maybe the dude was... Like, because he looked kind of skinny, and I thought maybe two cans of food is a lot of food for this.
Maybe,
guy.
Yeah.
Maybe he was going to make that last, like, 5 days.
Yeah. He was like, man, this is going to last me for 2 weeks. I have plenty to spare for these guys.
Quick question. Before we got to the food, there was a whole post-shooting, what do we do with Nick?
For sure.
I totally, at that point, I had enough of Nick, and I had no patience. So as Clementine, I like laid him out, like, you know.
So, I mean, but did he not seem like that he was honestly protecting the group? I mean, yes, he's a hothead, and yes, he shouldn't have shot without knowing, but he saw a guy with a gun walk, kind of standing close to them. I mean,
I think I tried a neutral response, like the most neutral response, or kind of like delaying or like not a in support of him option, but I can't remember.
I think I pretty much told them that I felt that he was trying to protect the group.
Yeah.
Mostly because I hate confrontation, so. Yes, Franco, what did you choose? Oh, no, you said that you laid him out.
I don't know if the option is to tell him to shut up or what. I forgot what the option was, but it was the option where Clementine basically is like, you know, what you did, Nick, was wrong, you know, basically.
So how did they respond? How did everyone respond to that?
I think it's the same either way. I think Carlos and Luke go off and talk on the side anyway, and then Nick just sits there and sulks.
Oh, yeah, I did tell everyone to shut up and told, like, basically said that what Nick did was wrong, and he kind of agreed and then went off and sulked.
Yeah. So you decide to start going up the hill. Well, quick question. Did you allow Alvin to take the cans of food for Rebecca without asking the group?
Yeah.
Yes.
No. Oh, I said no.
I said let the group decide.
That's what I said.
Busted him on that.
And he was being nice. I mean, but then also it's kind of bad, you know, I mean, she's not the only one that needs food. I mean, she does need more food than the, you know, I mean, you know, but she is feeding for two, but.
Actually, now I think that's, you know, maybe I was thinking a little bit about it then, but I think more about it now to myself. It's like, well, that's how, in a group dynamic, that's how it starts. These little secrets on the side.
Exactly. It's like,
nope, I ain't going there.
That's exactly, that came through my head too during that time. I was like, yeah, this sounds like a bad decision because it's going to come down the line. Someone's going to be like, well, who let you have those two cans of food? Clementine said I could have them. Holy crap.
Yeah.
And now it's your
Now it's and my can, fault. Ousted from can, the group.
Totally see Alvin doing that.
Yeah. And I just feel like these people are going to die soon anyways. So.
Oh, Kevin.
I felt like the group probably would want Rebecca to have, if I'm not sure. all of it, most of it. And right. so, and I think that they would, like, there's no reason to hide that if it's something that everybody is going to be
for sure
on board with any.
They'll probably give like a can and a half to Rebecca and give the other half of the can to like
everybody else gets Sarah. A slice of peach
or a slice of peach. Yeah. Yeah.
He'll give the other half to it to his it to himself.
Alvin. Oh, Alvin.
But you're missing the most important part. Who gets the peach juice, which is the best part?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys can have all that you want. All that you want.
You don't like the peach juice? Oh man.
I'm not a big peach person, but I'm too peachy myself.
Oh my lord.
What's going on? Moving on. So the group leaves. They start going up the big hill to the ski lodge. You have a nice ski lift, which to me I'm like, you know, if you could like get to the top or get or somewhere and like climb the ski lift, that would be a wonderful place to sleep. Right there in one of those seats. Just kind of sleep during the night. No zombies will be able to get you. They can't climb a wire.
Yeah, but what if you turn over or something and fall out of the
That's true.
Thing. Put yourself in. As long as it's not super windy, because it is kind of winterish time.
True.
And there's a thunderstorm coming.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, yeah, the thunderstorm. You would die. Yeah. Okay, never mind.
All those other things to the side, though. Yes.
It would be great. It would be great.
One thing I found interesting when you got to the top of the hill, and I thought it originally meant that it took you a week to get up the hill, but but Rebecca was saying that she's been on her feet for like a week or something, so
yeah.
I think it's been a week since they got since they left,
like 5 days.
You were walking for 5 days. The house.
Like a week
with,
or 5 days
with nothing, with not even like I don't think hardly any of them had backpacks.
That's close to 100 miles, probably.
I'm pretty sure they were just walking straight.
Yeah. Well, no. What was it? I think Carlos and Luke had backpacks.
Okay. Was it like a tent backpack?
It was like one of those like backpacking backpacks with the back rack and everything.
Okay. Well, then that you know, they might have had somewhere to kind of stay. I was like,
and you have a backpack with your...
It's like 5 inches high.
Yeah. You can barely store a can of peachy peaches in that. Yep. Yeah.
It's just a bunch of comic coloring books and crayons.
For your lighter, your binoculars, your stolen knife, and your
hammer.
Empty water bottle.
And your hammer.
Oh, yeah. You took, I mean, I'm guessing everyone took Matthew's knife out of the shed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, oh, yeah. Nice we don't knife. Have the hammer anymore, I think.
It was a super nice knife.
Awesome.
So, you get up to the ski lodge, and, you know, Luke sends you up to take a look over the horizon, across like at the bridge where you just, you know, came over. You see people with flashlights kind of moving around. As you're about ready to tell Luke, Luke's preoccupied with some more people with guns who are pointing guns at your group by the ski lodge. And it turns out that it's Kenny from season one.
Who shouldn't be alive right now.
Well, we don't... It never showed him dying.
Yeah, but like... He didn't really have the same excuse that Lee and Clementine had of getting across with being covered in zombie guts.
Do you watch the Walking Dead TV show, Kevin?
No.
This happens all the time.
It's called Hot Canadians.
Which is called bad writing.
Welcome to the Walking Dead universe. And really any TV show or medium or anything, there's always unexplained people surviving, you know, impossible conditions. You know, I mean, it kind of...
If you think that Dr. What's his name from...
Not...
The Fugitive can survive that fall from the water dam, then you'll go for anything.
I understand what you're saying. But I'm just saying that, like, there's so this, like, stuff like this happens so much in different things. Like, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of hard to point at this and be like, you know, I mean, it is phenomenal, you know. Honestly, like, even though I myself was like, how did he survive?
This and is insane. You can't even, like, ask him how he just is kind of like, well, I just kind of somehow got out of there.
Right.
Like, what?
I mean,
it's been a while since then. He's killed a lot of zombies since then, I'm sure. To expect like a play-by-play of like, well, first one came on my left, and then one came on my right.
Well, at least
then
how
two were behind
got,
me, and then like
how he just got out of like Savannah, like that place that was covered in zombies.
Yeah, he's had a hard time since then, though. I'm sure that he's kind of like not wanting to remember about all of that. Apparently he was on his own for a while, in some solitary, and then, what's his wife's name?
His girlfriend. Savika or something like that.
So, okay.
S something.
Yeah.
But if he's found eventually, and, all is better.
Yeah.
At least.
Oh. But, did anybody catch? I was just going to say real quick. Did anybody catch? I was a part. I do know now what state they're
Sarita.
In.
Sarita.
Yes, Sarita.
Sarita.
Yes, they're in Virginia.
Virginia. Yeah, the corner of the map. Yeah, it says Virginia. Yeah. Welcome to.
Wait,
Virginia.
They said that.
Uh huh. Yeah.
They're reading the map. Yeah.
They showed the map. It's Virginia. It said Virginia on the map.
So they have a long way to go. Yeah.
At first, I thought it was Tennessee, but they're on their way to
Ohio,
Michigan.
Michigan.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, they're on their
and
way to Michigan.
A ski veil poster in the lodge.
Yeah.
Which I was like,
why would that be in a
now?
Why would that be in a ski resort in Virginia?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, there's some mountains in Virginia, I think.
Oh, yeah. There's ski areas. The whole Appalachians run through there. So
Yeah. And there's skiing in West Virginia. That's what I know. So you get to the, so Kenny's there, Clementine and Kenny kind of catch up. At first, they're a little hostile with the group, but then once Kenny and Clementine saw each other, he's like, come on in for dinner. Everything changed.
Yeah. Everything's fine and dandy.
You guys are completely welcome. So you come in, they ask you to put your weapons down. Your members are a little untrustworthy of this, understandably. I know I would be. I'd be like, but I guess they kind of seem like everything was fine, so everyone put their weapons down by the door, which, to me, I'm like, it's a little weird. I I'm a little suspicious. I mean, is there a lock on that door? Did they lock that door?
Yeah, that's a weird place to put it.
I'm not sure I want, like, all the weapons in one pile by a door that might not be locked. But that's just me.
Yeah, that wouldn't be my choice. But
Yeah, so, I mean, how did you guys think about these new, like, so with Kenny, going back to Kenny, other than his, like, miraculous survival, how are you guys feeling about him now? Like, I know, like, in season one, you know, he was kind of, you know, a bit of a pill for the most season. I think he got better towards, well, he went through kind of a broken stage because, of course, his wife and his son.
Yeah.
I feel he's more calm, but he's a little bit overprotective of Sarita.
He found a life raft. I mean, and you know, kind of, so to speak, in Sarita. So,
how are you guys getting the overprotectiveness? Because I didn't pick up on that at all.
I don't think
he wouldn't let her carry a box of ornaments.
Yeah, he's being the top a little bit, but he's googly eyes over her. Yeah.
To me, I think that kind of goes along with his personnel. I mean, he was always kind of like a let me do this. A man should do this. You know, he seems very like role oriented. Old school role oriented. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It seems a little bit different than when he was married, though. And since he was off on his own, I feel like it's basically she ended up saving him. So he's like, you're that nice thing that's in my world, so I'm not going to let you get killed.
For sure. And she seems very worried about him sometimes. or at least that's the way that I read some of her facial expressions, like, towards him. It's kind of like, because kind of over-worried, you know. Of course, that's understandable considering the state that she apparently found him in when she didn't really go into, but, you know, you can kind of connect the dots, so to speak.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same. I didn't like him all that much first season, but second season, he does seem calmer, a little more milder, but still there are moments that, like with the whole box incident, you know, I was like, oh, there's the old Kenny.
Yeah, it definitely feels like there's a lot of, he's suffering from some PST.
Oh, sure, there. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Sarita seems fine. I don't really have any, she didn't really have that much. We didn't learn too much about her. What do you think of the other guy?
Walter,
there you go. I kept wanting to say Winston. Walter.
Is that Overwatch?
What do you guys think? I was at first, I mean, we learned more, but at first I was very suspicious kind of Walter. He seemed very overly nice.
Yeah. For his own good too. Like, just those people don't survive in this world.
I mean, maybe that's why it seems suspicious. It's because, like, you just don't see that much here, but like, I kept feeling like, honestly, he seemed like kind of pervy.
Yeah,
I could get that.
And I have no idea why. Like, I was like, I don't really like being, I don't want Clementine to be alone with him, like, because, and I don't know if that's just if it's because he seemed too nice. You know, that could have just been my kind of reading of his personality, but
at least he wasn't a cannibal.
That's true.
He wasn't a cannibal, but he cooks peaches and beans in one big stew.
Yeah, I don't get that at all. But
it sounds kind of good. I'm not even a peach person, but if I was going to have to eat something in the apocalypse, peaches and beans sounds like it's an okay thing.
The thing is, though, keep them separate.
Yeah,
nice. Don't cook them together.
I think he was trying to, like, experiment. I don't know. He's strange.
I bet they had him separately for, like, 8 times that
week. Yeah.
Already. Peaches and beans is an actual meal.
And they're like, today we're going to be different. Peachy beans.
Beans is an actual meal. Beans is protein.
No, peaches and beans is an actual meal. You can have them together.
Sure. Yeah.
Like cooked together in a stew type of thing?
Together but separate. Like the United States of America.
But anyway, I was going to say... Oh, go ahead, Madeline. I'm sorry.
I was getting a little bit of a Stranger Danger vibe from him until he said he was a teacher. Because then, next sentence, he said something about Matthew. And then as soon as he said that, I was like, what happened here.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. I immediately... Alarms went off in my head. I was like, oh, crap. Someone's going to die.
Yep.
Someone's going to die. Walter's going to turn dark. He's going to kill someone. Yep.
And so as soon as I learned that, I was like, oh, well, I'll let you, like, you should have as many, happy conversations before then as possible. So, yes, let's spend time together.
Yeah, for sure.
Go ahead,
Frank.
I was going to say, was it on this, the first time I did this episode, I did get the creepy factor on Walter. And then the second playthrough, I was just concentrating on what he was saying. And then it just was different. Especially on, not so much, but this and a little later when he takes Clementine out for a walk, around the building, that was really an interesting conversation for me. But he seemed a little bit too Mr. Rogery at the beginning.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, life is all, puppies and and all that and stuff. And so it's like, this guy might have slipped the gear.
Yeah, and you run into Miss Hungry outside.
Bonnie.
Yeah. Played by Julianne Moore. Yeah.
Asking for some food. He kind of, immediately is like, well, let me go and get you some. It'll be fine. He brings out an entire box for her. And I'm like, wait a minute, buddy. Mm-hmm. This, I don't think, she doesn't need, okay, fine. I see this is happening. Cool.
Yeah. I told her to check, told him to check her for weapons. And
me too.
Her the food.
Me too. And Clementine said it the worst way possible. She was like, check her for weapons. Clementine, calm down. It's okay. You can say it without sounding like you're accusing her of murder. It's okay. So I wasn't really trustworthy of her. It kind of came to my mind, I'll say, that she was from the other group.
And that she could have been with the group that was with the flashlights at the bottom.
That's what I meant. Yeah, that's what I meant. Like, she was with season 2's governor.
That's interesting. You know, that you mentioned, it's like, I think, Walter or somebody should have picked up on that they've been there for weeks or maybe even months, and nobody's ever walked up on their camp before. You know, it's like,
but Matthew said there's a lot of people passing
by. Oh, okay, that's true. That's true. That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
He's really the only one of their group that said that. Everybody else is like, yeah, we're a big happy family.
I mean, they might have just, it's only 4 of them. So I think Matthew seemed like that he kind of stayed out and, and directed people or helped people or whatever. So then the other 3 might have just kind of holed up in the lodge. Because Matthew seemed nice enough that he could have probably swayed people, if they were decent, to be like, to stay away from the lodge or, not to, or to just welcome them in for a meal. And then they're heading up north, so why would they stay very long? But
yeah,
it's not the best fortified structure. It's just high up. it's not like a military fortified town. So you kind of, lady comes by, you get the chance to kind of go around. I think this was a bit earlier, go around and kind of talk to people, inside the lodge. You get to help decorate the Christmas tree. They have Christmas decorations everywhere.
Oh, did you put the CD in the boombox?
I did, yes.
I didn't listen to much of it.
Yeah, I think I walked away and it just kind of like...
Yeah, put it in. Okay, mission accomplished. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. When it helped with the Christmas tree, went upstairs.
I promised Rebecca I wouldn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
And I also listened to the baby. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, me too. So then you go downstairs for dinner. You have a choice here, guys.
High school cafeteria.
And both of them, they guilt you no matter what.
Exactly. If you ate with
Luke and the
crew, or with Kenny and, you know, the trio. So I chose to go with Kenny and them because I hadn't seen him in a while. I thought I was just
exactly.
And plus Luke, I think Luke told me, because Luke kind of has this like side conversation with you in the dark, in the shadows. He's like, shh. He's like, Clementine, over here. He did ask me to kind of get close to them and to talk with them. Or it might have been the group that told me that. Yeah, yeah. So, I didn't feel right agreeing to that either, because I'm like, well, they seem fun. But I chose to sit with them.
Sat with Luke.
Oh, really? So what?
Yeah. They go and ask you, can we trust Kenny? I'm like, he seems like himself, but he seems a little bit different than before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Kenny goes and comes over and sits with you.
Yeah, the same thing. Yeah. If you go with Kenny and them, Luke and Nick kind of just come over without being invited at all. And just like, hey, we'll just sit down here.
Yeah, team Kenny.
I sat with my boyfriend, even though he keeps asking me to do his dirty work.
I know, right? Man.
Sounds like you have an abusive relationship.
Yeah, that's a rough relationship, that one. We should reconsider that. Either way, I'm sure if you sit with Luke and them, and then Kenny comes over, Kenny and Nick into a spat. I don't remember what it was. Something.
Kenny is like, well, aren't you two a pair? And then both Luke and Nick are like, what are you talking about?
Right?
Yeah, they get all defensive. I didn't see it that comment made that way anyway.
They got very defensive.
I think Nick is just not secure in his masculinity.
Oh no, I saw it that way.
I think Nick, well, it seemed more like, I saw it more like a family pair, because both...
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah.
And Nick was still sore about Pete.
So. Yeah, I think it was a classic, seeing it from Clementine's eyes, that's just Kenny being Kenny, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But they don't know that, you know?
Yeah.
So it was like, maybe, you know, I would have loved to have Clem to have the option of saying, well, listen, that's just Kenny being Kenny. Don't take any offense, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, you have your discussion. Nighttime comes. Your group, Nick and crew, decide that they're going to leave.
Oh, you missed a big. You missed. Didn't you get the bomb at your table?
Bomb.
Duck.
Yes. Oh yes.
Well, he mentioned duck, right?
Oh yeah. Freudian slip. Hand me that canned duck, and you're like, oh.
Oh dear.
And then I said, oh, Duck was his son. And they're all like, oh.
And during, leading up to that, like, it's interesting because Kenny mentions two or three times, like, oh, you're staying with us now. Like, you're not, like, you know, they'll leave tomorrow, but you're staying here. I think Luke overheard that once and he was like, what, you know, and at first I was like, oh my gosh, are they going to give me a choice as to if I want to go with stay with Kenny or go with the group? This is going to be horrible. How am I going to decide?
I think I was saying that I wanted to look for Krista or something.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
But it was in that moment when he said duck, when he accidentally called me duck, that I was like, you know, as good as it is for the two of them to find each other, you know, and kind of that blast from the past and be able to reminisce with each other, like, I was like, I'm not sure that Clementine being with him is the best thing for him. Just because I think that it brings back things, you know, a different time in his life, to where, like, he seems to be doing better now, you know? So, it was at that point, even though it never gave me that choice, I was like, well, no, I don't think I would want to stay with them.
Yeah.
So, was it nighttime? Yes.
Yeah. But yeah.
You figure out that your knife that you stole from Matthew is by the door.
And before that, Luke finds the picture.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Walter.
Yeah. But you figure out that your knife is by the door. You go back to get it, and too late.
Well,
he's already got it. Yeah.
How did everybody play with Nick on the picture? I stuck to the truth. I said, tell him. You have to tell him. You got to get this out of the... Clean the air.
What do you mean? I don't remember that. I don't...
There's a whole discussion between you, Nick, and Luke. What to do since he found the picture. What do we do? Do we tell him? Well, and Luke's all like, this guy's going to freak out. You know,
I think I said not to mention it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said to tell him because he's going to find out anyway.
Right.
Well, I mean, not necessarily. Not if he didn't find the knife.
But
there's no reason.
Or that he'll probably find out anyway because Matthew's supposed to have probably been back by.
Well, I know, but I mean, there's nothing that pins, even if they would find Matthew's body, there's nothing that pins Matthew's death to Nick.
In fact,
it's enough to put you with the group, though, because of the time, coinciding time of his decision.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Possibly, in fact, yes. I don't know what triggered it, but on my walk outside before you get to the woman, Bonnie, asking for food, I had the option, I think, for Clementine to bring up that she wants to tell Walter about Matthew, that she figured it out at that point, and she wanted to, because she said, look, I can't, about your friend Matthew.
Yeah, I tried to.
Yeah.
And that's right when Kenny came outside.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm gonna go look at blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And I wasn't gonna tell him. Nope. Wasn't gonna do it.
So.
So the knife was found. To try and move this along a bit.
Doing a slow burn.
Yes, you see him standing outside like a scary movie, just standing out. On the patio, turning the knife slowly in his hands, smoking a cigarette, I think.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that is frightening. So you go outside, and so how did you guys choose to approach the situation?
I think I tried to tell him that it was, like, our fault, or I tried to get as close to saying it was, like, it was an accident type of thing. I don't think you can directly say that. No.
I said pick the option. I spilled the peaches and beans. I said, we killed them. Which I think actually it said the option was something like, you know, I forget what the option actually said, but she ends up saying we killed them, you know.
Yeah, it pointed the finger at Nick, but she didn't say Nick.
Right.
Yeah. There was one thing that was weird with that. I think it was initially when you walk out and he has the knife, and I only had like three options, and like the bottom left option was like not even there, like it was just like the complete rectangle was missing.
Hmm.
So I only had like three options, and one of them was like telling him to like put down the knife or something.
Yeah. Might have depended on what you said between Nick and Luke.
Yeah, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Yeah. So you approach that. I tried to hide. I was kind of like, oh, well, I found the knife somewhere. Like, I found the knife in the shack. And then Nick comes out. For some reason, Nick sees him there, and he's like, I should come outside. So then Nick, you have the option to kind of tell Nick, see if he wants to confess. Because I can't remember what the other option was, but I told him that he should tell him what. Or I think Clementine says it without being prompted. Like, you need to tell him what happened, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I thought for sure he was going to kill Nick. But he didn't. He threw the knife aside, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. Which gave me a whole new level of respect for him. Because I was like, he's surely going to just gut him right here.
And then the windmill starts going crazy.
Everyone rushes out to take care of the windmill. The generator goes as well, so the lights go off. And then who shows up but... I can't remember his name.
What is his name?
Carver.
Yeah, and they entrust a 11-year-old to fix the windmill.
The leader. Oh, yes, of course. Yeah. Of course, because Clementine
who somehow
everything.
Was able to just turn it off by putting the key in and then turning the key.
An adult can't do that, Kevin. I don't know.
I feel like it should be more complicated than that to actually.
I'm pretty sure.
Well, you needed the tiny fingers because the key looked pretty small. So
the key looks very small. Yes.
Anybody else get really pissed off at the zombie killing scene, the zombie fighting thing after the turning off the windmill?
Why?
Because I died like 6 times.
Yeah, no. It was a little touchy.
I didn't die once.
Because when you have to shoot them, you have to like shoot like a specific number of them in order for the cutscene to trigger.
Yes.
So I always just kept getting eaten because I didn't kill the correct amount. And then they give you an option to like run away after you run out of bullets.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you run under the bench and either grab for.
Were you using what are you playing this on, Kevin?
Keyboard and mouse.
Okay. I don't know.
It makes you this is the part where design and the illusion of choice bites them in the butt. Mm-hmm. Because they want you to feel like you have a choice for how this encounter goes down, but you mm-hmm. don't. You're on rails, and so yeah. instead of being like, we're just not going to give him the choice. We'll just mm-hmm. make the encounter go like this.
Mm-hmm.
They would just rather you get eaten 6 times in a row until you learn what they want you to learn.
Right.
And do it's one of the most frustrating parts of this episode. And I just mm-hmm. was like, I'm done. With
I was
glad that the episode was almost over.
Yeah, I guess if I would have had trouble, I probably would have gotten frustrated too.
I have to say, the first time I played through, yes, I died about 2 or 3 times trying to figure out the shooting sequence and all that.
And
the other time I redid it is because I wanted to change the outcome of what comes next.
So Carver finds
you guys.
And,
well, how many people lost Nick?
What?
If you do not play nice with Walter.
Right. That's right. Yeah. So so when you're talking to Walter outside, like you can,
I shouldn't say play nice. I should, if you're not truthful with
there's
Walter.
There's a sequence that if you're truthful with Walter from the beginning, and Clementine, like when you're alone with Walter, before Nick comes out, and you confess to Nick killing Matthew, Walter will save Nick during the zombie attack. If you don't, if you don't say the truth to Walter, you have a chance to redeem yourself when Walter asks you about Nick and if he is a good guy or if he's like everyone else. If you say that he's a good guy, he's okay. If you say that he's like everyone else, he won't save Nick during the zombie attack. So I was able to save Nick. Anyone not? Yep.
So did I. Save Nick.
Did anyone lose Nick?
Chris?
No, I saved him.
Okay. You were pretty quiet.
So what? Yeah. Okay. All right.
Going into a hostage situation, yeah.
It's so reminiscent of like three times in the TV series that I was like, oh no. things are gonna go bad. So he kind of takes everyone into the lodge. I think Clementine gets a. Doesn't she sneak away? She's not.
You have an option.
Carla sends you in the lodge.
Oh, that's right.
First, Carver and everybody shows up, and then you see them rounding up and sending everybody into the lodge. So you hide.
Upstairs with Rebecca. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you can, Alvin and Rebecca are there. Mm-hmm. And the whole reason for those listening, like the whole reason that Carver is there is he's looking for Rebecca because Rebecca's baby is not Alvin's. It is Carver's, apparently.
We actually don't know that.
Well, we don't know that for certain, but that's what Carver is.
She did the nasty with both of them, so.
Yes.
That's what we're led to believe, but yes. I would also not, I would not put it past Carver, based on what we've seen from him in this episode, that he just feels like anyone that gets pregnant under his roof, belongs to him because he's in charge.
Oh yeah. Or he ended up taking advantage of her. Possibly.
Yeah.
Even admit though that the baby's not Alvin's?
Yes.
Well, she's unsure. Well,
she's not sure.
So that does lead to...
But if there's manipulation involved, she could be made to believe, you know, I mean...
Yeah.
She could be speaking metaphorically, you know, as Madeline suggested, if she thinks that everything belongs, you know, led to believe that, then I guess that there are other possibilities, yes. So did you guys... So Alvin comes up there... Carver is threatening to shoot people unless they submit to him and especially bring Rebecca down because Rebecca, is hiding at this moment. Alvin's there and he gives you the choice to either go and find Luke and Kenny, who are outside at the moment, or just say that we have to give up, that you know, there's nothing that we can do. Because he was threatening to kill the doctor, Carlos, at that time.
They already kill Walter, or do they kill Walter afterwards?
They killed him during this sequence.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, during the sequence, but after, you have to make a choice. Either stay with Alvin and Rebecca, or go outside and look for Kenny and Luke.
I think Walter's dead either way.
Yeah, unfortunately, there is no way to save Walter.
Yeah.
Walter!
But I did both since I had the luxury of playing twice. So first time I stayed in the cabin with Rebecca you end up surrendering.
Which you saved Carlos in that instance.
Yes.
With some broken fingers.
Yeah, he's now a lefty.
Broken fingers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, if you stay inside.
Carlos.
I still ended up saving him, I believe, even if I went to
the hospital. I don't think it's possible.
But Walter? No, you can't save Walter.
Not Walter.
No, you Carlos? Can end up saving Carlos. You.
Oh yeah.
If you shoot at him or whatever.
Well, yeah. If you go outside, you try to talk Kenny. You have an option to let Kenny try shoot the guard, or try to talk him out of it. I tried to talk him out of it, and he shot the guard anyway. So I must have had a trust level issue with Kenny at that point.
I think I think that was just one of those options.
Yeah.
Let's see. I think that's just one of those fake options that they give you.
Could be.
The important choice? I mean, that choice there? No, that's one of the ones that has an effect.
No, where like you, if you try to tell him to like not, and he ends up shooting anyway or whatever. But
Okay.
I think the important one is the next one, where if you're outside, I don't know how many. Did anybody else go outside?
To find Luke and Kenny?
Yes.
I did.
What happened, Frank?
You have this. Then you see from Kenny's perspective. What's his name? God, I can't think of his name. Carver, dragging.
Carlos.
Carlos across the floor, and Kenny wants to shoot. Try to shoot. Carver. And that time I convinced him not to shoot Carver, because I said, what would happen, you know, if you try to shoot him and miss, he's just going to kill everybody, and then include Sarika, and that stops him from trying to take the second shot.
Yeah,
I think I did that one.
Yeah.
The key is the second, if he tries to take a second shot at Carver and misses, that means Alvin goes bye-bye. So.
What, Alvin dies?
That there is a scenario where Alvin can be shot, yes.
Oh.
Yes. So all of you missed that, because I guess all of you, if I remember from my first playthrough, all of you made a jump for Carver.
I surrendered.
Okay, yeah, well, you surrendered. Yeah, if you surrender, you pretty. I think you save Alvin.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, there's no, and you save Carlos too.
Yes, Carlos. Yeah.
Madeline?
Yeah,
there were two.
Yeah. Okay. So you surrender, and then he has Alvin over where he had Walter, and he's about to shoot him. I said, Luke and Kenny, stop shooting.
Yep, that's it.
Rebecca wanted Alvin to live, even though things were going to be messy.
I distracted him. And then he grabbed me.
Yeah, comes and picks up us. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there... I mean, I don't really think that's pretty much it. The episode ends with Carver has everyone, is marching them off, I guess, except back to his group. Oh, is Luke still... Yeah, Luke's still a rogue agent.
Yes.
Yeah. He said he was whining about something, so he told him to shove off.
What, who?
Kenny said that Luke was whining about something, so he told him to buzz off.
Why did he say that?
I don't think Kenny told me that.
It was during the like brief moment where you can ask him where Luke is, I believe.
Oh, I tried to untie Carlos's hands.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I tried. Yeah, first time too, I tried that. Yeah. But if you went outside with Kenny, Kenny says, she asks him, where's Luke? And he's like, he was mouthing off, so I told him to, he was saying something to that effect. I told him to buzz off, so he went off on his own. So, Luke is, the wild card.
MIA. So then it shows previews for the next week, blah, blah. Is there anything that we, in this episode, that we didn't discuss that you guys want to discuss real quick? Because we are running a little bit over.
It is the same voice actor for Kenny.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It is?
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, interesting.
He also voiced Beast in Wolf Among Us.
Oh.
Wow.
And Dean Dumb as well.
It sounds so different.
It does. It does sound
so
different.
So good.
Yeah.
Did anybody else find it interesting that the that Luke and Carver are credited as being as performed by, because probably because of the fact that the two people are actual actors or live action actors.
No,
because they cost more. Yes.
Yeah.
Because they cost more. That's why it's performed by him. Yeah, Michael Madsen. Yes. Mr. Bad guy.
So the guy who voiced Kenny also voiced Jonas in Oxenfree.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I love Oxenfree. Anything else you guys want to discuss about the episode before we close out? Well,
nope.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate the chat. I appreciate you guys being here to talk about episode 2 of The Walking Dead, season 2. Next week, episode 3. We got a little preview. Apparently, we're going to go back to Carver's camp. Things are going to get crazy. It's going to turn into an episode of the TV show, The Walking Dead. Because, you know, we're under duress. We're all about to die. And it's just going to... It looks...
You'll see a lot of familiar faces if you played 400 Days.
All right.
Yep.
Nice. I might have to play that then. Since I haven't...
Well, if you play that, you're going to have to replay the first 2 episodes, so...
Yeah.
What?
You have to replay the first 2 episodes of...
Because you have to play 400 Days before playing season 2.
Oh, that's... Okay. All right. Well, then I
it makes sense.
Oh, sure, it makes sense. Right. Yeah. So... yeah, we'll wrap up there. Again, next week we'll talk about episode 2, so play that all the way through. You can find us, for those listening, you can find us at thegamechat.net is our landing page where you can find us. I think as a link to our Facebook group, it has our past recordings on there. We also have our recordings on iTunes and Stitcher.
And Google Play.
As well. And Google Play. We're just expanding like a shop in a mall. Anyways, so you can find us there. All our past episodes, as well as this one, goes up pretty quickly as well. Do you get them on Google Play and iTunes and stuff to the night of, or is that more like the day after or so?
It Chris? All gets updated as soon as the RSS is updated. So
there you go. There you go. So pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Usually night of, if not the morning after. So thanks everyone for listening. Thanks everyone for chatting here. And I'll chat with you guys next week. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.